we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Ready or not, here comes Tuesday. Well, if you're listening at the 5 o'clock broadcast, Tuesday's pretty well gone by now. But if you're listening of a morning, we're getting ready to embark on another journey here today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Go ahead and start rejoicing and be glad in it, and allowing Him to order your steps and direct your path. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you on WMIE 91.5 FM. Right here in Cocoa, Florida. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. And we want to let you know that if you want to grow in your knowledge of the Word of God and in your walk with Him, mature in your faith, that tonight in our fellowship hall, once again, we'll meet Advanced Christian Training School, 633-0432, 633-0432. We tell you about them every Tuesday. We have a number of people in our church who attend these classes, even though they meet on our campus, but they do not meet, or they're not a Merit Assembly of God ministry per se. But Ted and Linda Emsom share these free video Bible classes, and the reports we get back from our people are that they are very, very good, very wonderful, very helpful. And so we want to let you know about them from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. tonight. Class will be going on, and you are more than welcome to come and join in at any given point in time. It's not like some of the other schools where you've got to start only in August or only in January. You can start in with these at any time. If you have any questions, you can call 633-0432, and they can bring you up to speed on the details and give you all the information that you need. Do want to mention to you, if you would like one of our prayer mugs, to give us a call, 454-4263, 454-4263, or you could contact us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. You could write to us at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953, and let us know. We'll be happy to ship one of those out to you our earliest availability. So today we're going to resume back in Isaiah 55. We have made it down to verse number 7, and just begin reading there today. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, 7th verse, it says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Several thoughts that I want to communicate about this passage here today. First of all, it says, "Let the wicked forsake his way." Let me, first of all, identify and say that apart from Christ, every one of us is wicked. We tend to look at people and do a comparative study as to whether they are better than we are, worse than we are, whether we're better than they are or worse than they are. And that's kind of the way that we define wickedness. Unless, you know, we get into a situation and all of a sudden our theology gets challenged because now what we have labeled was wickedness before, all of a sudden now one of our family members is in it. And then we want to try and redefine and reevaluate the Word of God and make it fit into our situation. I want you to know that that is not the way that it goes. The standard of righteousness is not Bob Arthurs. The standard of righteousness is not a politician nor a judge. Standard of righteousness is not a celebrity or a person of great wealth. The standard of righteousness is quite simply this. It is Jesus Christ. Only He is perfect. Only He was without sin. only he was spotless. All of the rest of us were in need of redemption. And that's why Jesus, when he was challenged by the Pharisees about who he was hanging out with, he says, it's not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. He wasn't saying that it was just because of the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the drunkards of the town that needed him. But if you insist that you are well, you will deprive yourself of the physician's treatment availability. And as long as people insist that they are good enough to get to heaven on their own without the help of Jesus Christ, then they will fall short of what God has available for them. So here Isaiah writes, and he says, the wicked must forsake their ways. And it doesn't mean to slow down. It doesn't mean to participate less in. It means to forsake, to walk away from, to abandon, to erect whatever defense mechanisms you need to put up in order to remove those things from your life. God wants them removed. I was doing a study here on Isaiah 14 in our vintage service, which was last Wednesday. We will be meeting again tomorrow at 11 a.m. I'm going to attempt to lead worship for the first time since February when my eye, I suffered a detached retina. My vision is still pretty blurry, but we're going to give it a go tomorrow and see how that goes. But last Wednesday I was talking about Isaiah 14, and in there it talks about Lucifer and how hell was rising up to meet him and the eye wills and all of that. But it says that people were said, this is he who weakened the nations. And if it will help you in the understanding of how much separation we need to get between us and our sin, us and our wickedness, it is this. Lucifer comes to weaken you. The things that he does, the temptations that he brings your way, the strongholds that he tries to erect in your life are not to make your life better, but they are to diminish your strength, to bring you into a condition of fatigue or weakness. Sin always weakens. It weakens you to the point that eventually it kills you. That is the strategy. Satan never comes to make your life stronger. He always comes to make you weaker. So in order for us to understand that appropriately, if something is going to weaken me, if I were to look down and, like I did the other night, and see a mosquito that is sucking on my leg, I'm going to forsake that as quickly as I can. And so when I realized that there was a mosquito there, and I realized that there are some diseases that can come my way from repeated exposure to mosquitoes, the first thing that I did was kill that mosquito. But mosquitoes rarely travel as individuals. Normally, there's a number of other mosquitoes traveling along with them. And so I got rid of that mosquito. But then I happened to see that I had some bug repellent that happened to be nearby where I was. And so I went over and I availed myself of that. I wanted to put a barrier up between me and anything that might weaken me, that might cause me to be sick or infirmed. And that's the way that we need to view the sin that we have in our life. It's not that we are separating ourselves from the world. We are separating ourselves from the sin that caused us and compelled us to be weak in the first place. The truly redeemed, those who have been ransomed by the blood of Jesus Christ, will always have a heart to go back and bring the same deliverance to others who are trapped in strongholds of sin. So it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So now we're going to we're going to set that thought on the sideline here for just a second, because in forsaking wickedness, I want to drop down to the end of verse number 7. We're in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, and it says, "Let him return to the Lord. He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." There is not a person that is listening to my voice, nor a person that you know, that God is not able to pardon and forgive their sin. He abundantly pardons. We just have to forsake that sin and adopt a new mindset, and that is, we are going to return to the Lord. In spite of everything that we see going on in the world with headlines and the slide of depravity and into moral decay here in America and the corruption that we see all around us, in spite of all of that, I believe that God is still able to forgive and send revival to America once again. If I did not believe that, I certainly wouldn't be on the air. But even if there's only one person who gives saved, I was reading a testimony before I came into the studio just now about a pastor who was talking about that there was a person and they had fallen away in their walk with God, but they started seeing some things on Facebook. They started listening to some sermons, and all of a sudden they decided that it was time to return to God. Listen, you don't know what the smallest act or the simplest thing that you might be able to do could have a profound effect in somebody's life. And I want you to know, God is not up there looking for a reason not to forgive you. He is looking for the only reason to forgive you, and that is Jesus. He was the one who began the redemption process. He not only prophesied it, but he's the one who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He did all of that because he longs to forgive. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants to restore you and reconcile you to himself. He wants to restore your beauty. He wants to restore the beauty of your purpose and your giftings. He wants to restore you to relationship to himself. He abundantly pardons. He abundantly pardons. And if you have not prayed and asked God to forgive you, I want you to know that he's waiting to hear from you. While my wife and I were on the cruise ship, I ended up walking into one of the public restroom areas and found that there was a whole lot of water that was flowing. And so I said, you know what? Somebody needs to be notified about this. And so I called the maintenance hotline. And while I was there, it said, please hold. And all of a sudden it started giving me this music. Well, you know, that was all fine, well and good. I mean, it wasn't my water bill that was running up, but I kept holding and holding and holding. And finally, I saw a cruise ship employee, and this happened to be an employee who knew who to get in touch with somebody that could solve the problem. And I said, sir, you have a problem in there. In the meantime, I'm on hold with the people who could be notified to solve the problem, but they've got me on hold. I want you to know God will never put you on hold. He is waiting to hear from you. You know, to quote the infomercial, operators are not standing by. God is standing by right now. He wants to abundantly pardon you. But we've got to ask ourselves, how did I get in the mess that I got in the first place? And if you remember, I told you in verse number 7, we were going to set something to the side there. And it says, in the unrighteous man, his thoughts. We go into verse number 8, and it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The way we got into the mess and the predicament and the crisis that we were in the first place is that our thoughts did not line up with the Word of God. Our thought life will get me in trouble. My thought life will get me in trouble if it is not operating with a renewed mind, the mind of Christ Jesus. You know, a renewed mind is something we're going to talk about here in just a moment. But everything begins with a process, a rationalization that it, well, it's not as bad as what God, that's what happened with Eve and the serpent. Is Eve made the statement, she went beyond what God had said, but all of a sudden the serpent began to discuss things with her, and Eve began to rationalize and to think, and well, you know, that probably is an unreasonable thing for God to ask me not to do. After all, he did ask me to deprive myself of one whole tree in the garden. Out of all of the millions of trees, all I had to do was avoid one. How unreasonable. That's dripping as sarcasm there, just in case you were wondering. But not just Eve, but every other person, myself included, in times past, as I have rationalized myself right out of right standing with God and right into an area where I would need repentance. And you know what the amazing thing? After all of that time of the devil trying to convince you in your thought life that partaking of that was not so bad, that it wouldn't get you in trouble, don't you know that just as soon as you cave in, just as soon as you relinquish your thought life and that pattern, that he come and you decide to allow yourself to engage in whatever sin or temptation he was enticing you with, then immediately he flips on his head and begins to condemn you for how unworthy you are and what a miserable Christian you are. Has anybody else ever experienced that? He spends so much time trying to tell you that there's nothing wrong with it, and as soon as you do it, then there is all of the guilt and the condemnation, and along with that, the shame. So you and I, we need to forsake our old way of thinking. It says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. The unspoken verb there is that the unrighteous man has to forsake his thoughts. The problem is we tend to only know how to think the way that we think. But in verse number 8, God says that his thoughts are not our thoughts. Now, what he is saying there is that he thinks in a different manner in which we think. We tend to think selfishly. He thinks in a manner of holiness. Holiness is very, very important to God. God thinks not just for immediate situations, he thinks for all of eternity. And so he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. How would you respond on this Tuesday if somebody were to walk up to you and told you God does not think in the same manner that you think? Would you think there was something wrong with God, or would we think that there was something that was wrong with us? Well, when I see that, I see that there is an entirely different manner in which God thinks. You know, I've got three children and the world's greatest daughter-in-law, and at one point in time, all three of my children were growing up through the school system, and there came a time where there was a thought crisis in their education. You see, when they began their education journey, they were taught concrete principles, you know, things that they could touch and see and feel, they could hear, they were easy to grasp. And so they got to that, but there came a time where the education system said, okay, now we need you to mature in the way that you think and to begin to think not just in concrete terms, but in abstract terms. And however long it takes a person to make that adjustment in their thought processes, it depends upon the person, but it's something that has to take place. There has to be a change of mindset. And some of them, some kids adapt to it quickly, some kids adapt to it very slowly. God is doing the same thing with us in our mindset as far as what we tend to think of him. But instead of concrete and abstract, it's wickedness and unrighteousness versus righteousness and holiness before God. God wants to renew our mind so that our mind functions the same way that his mind functions. This is very important because the scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We tend to be very arrogant creatures by nature. We tend to think that we're always right, that we could never be wrong. And if you think that I'm wrong, refer back to the previous rule, which says, I am never wrong. That's the way that the world tends to function. But God wants us to be people of humility, where we recognize that God is smarter than we are, and he thinks in different manners than which we think. His ways are different than our ways. I've said this before. You know, with all of the mythological gods that society's created, they created those gods as supernatural beings with the same flaws as the rest of humanity. There was pettiness, there was jealousy, covetousness, there was unrestrained actions. That they were just supernatural sinners is all they were. But God is not like that. We did not create him in our image. He created us in his image. And when sin entered this world, our minds, our mental patterns, our thoughts and our ways, our behaviors, all of those things came crushing down to a much lower and depraved level. It doesn't mean that God is not rational. It means that God's reasons, the way that God does things, is supernatural. We can understand the things of nature, but God operates on a supernatural plane. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, Jesus said, look, if I talk to you about earthly things and you don't understand them, how are you ever going to understand if I start trying to tell you the greater spiritual truths from heaven? So God says, my thoughts are higher, or my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we need to come to that place. Again, we're in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. We're verses 7 through 9, where we recognize that God's ways and his thoughts are on an elevated, there's a higher level, okay? Now, with that said, there's got to be a basic principle that I share with you, and that is this. From the mere perspective that his thoughts are higher than my thoughts and his ways are higher than my ways, there are going to be times when I do not understand what God is doing, because it is above my head. It is above my ability to understand. That doesn't mean that I stop trusting him. It means when it is something beyond my understanding, I trust the one who knows what he's doing. Listen, my faith is not built upon my understanding. My faith is built upon Jesus Christ. The Bible promises a peace that surpasses understanding. There's a peace that passes it. There are thoughts that pass my understanding. There are ways that I cannot identify with yet, but I'm saying to God, just like Moses did, God, teach me your ways. Teach me to think in the manner in which you think. Teach me to live the way that you live. Teach me the way that your mind works. When you go to the house of God, do you go to learn new information, or do you go to learn how to think like God. I'm constantly a little perplexed in my spirit when I hear about churches that are trying to conform the house of God into the way that the world operates. When in reality, the house of God should function in a distinct manner. My pattern as a pastor that I'm looking to create at Merit Assembly of God is not what is taking place in Wall Street or what's taking place in Hollywood. I'm trying to create an atmosphere where it resembles what is taking place in the heavenlies, where there's an encounter between God and man. And we come in to the house of God prepared. We need God to renew our mindset to where we think in a different manner than what we are. There are God's ways are higher than our ways. Okay. Now I will tell you this. It is very, very challenging to think in a manner in which you have never thought before. That's why we have got to have the power of the Holy Spirit guiding us and enabling us to have our minds renewed. Because I don't want to think the way that I used to think. You know, some professional athletes, a lot of times when they are struggling in their performance, they will go to some person who will help them to think differently in moments of crisis and moments of pressure than they thought. Let me tell you, that's not something new. That's something that God's been trying to do for a long time. What could God do in your life? What can God do in my life if we would just allow him to create in us a different mindset, one that functions on his principles, on his patterns, that we think God's thoughts and we operate in his ways, not our ways. I tell you, it is possible. If it weren't possible, God would not put it in his word. He's telling us, you're not thinking the way that I'm thinking, so that we can have him pardon us, forgive us, and create in us a mind that functions the way he wants it to. Father, I pray right now for anybody who is in need of forgiveness, God. Lord, if there's anything in their life that they need to forsake, that they would lay it down. Lord, if there's any thought patterns that are out of alignment with your word, God, today, I pray that you would renew minds in Jesus' name. Cleanse them. Lord, empower them. Rewire the synapses of our spiritual mind. Open the eyes of our understanding so that we see you in your righteousness and your holiness, and you would be our teacher. Teach us to think and act the way that you want us to. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.